This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We welcome in Daryl Ryder. We go to the hotline and welcome in Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He is dangerous and he is ready to make some deals as we are just over 30 hours away from the trade deadline. Dangerous one, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Daryl, who are you letting go? Who are you moving on from today?
Anybody with an expiring contract that doesn't make any money.
Okay, so Greg Newsom is out.
Probably.
Oh, okay, because for a second I'm like, well, you just said what you said. Okay, Za'Darius Smith
It feels like Za'Darius is as good as gone. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of smoke around that Detroit Lion fire right
Elijah
now.
Moore.
If anyone wants him, sure. But I don't know that anyone wants him.
That's cold-blooded, Daddy.
Well, I mean, he's not done a whole lot, right?
I mean, he had three catches for 28 yards yesterday.
Well, that's worth at least a seventh-round pick.
Daryl Ryder. Go ahead, Tone.
Well, I've seen people use the term fire sale, and I've also seen people kind of liken this to tearing the whole thing down and starting over. I made a case that I don't think that's necessarily the case at all, given the timelines of change in the NFL. You can truly turn it around in 1 year, but what is your make on this situation where we stand now? Because clearly this season is over, and now it's all about trying to pivot and try to salvage next year.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. People have to understand how the salary cap works. And so, you know, those that want to speculate about trading Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and Jerry Jeudy and guys that have significant money still on their contracts, you can't do it. The reason you can't do it is because of Deshaun Watson. So you can't take those accelerated salary cap charges. You need all the salary cap space you can get next year. Because you're over the threshold. So, you know, that's why I just was scratching my head over the last week when I would read these posts of, you know, folks making these suggestions. And I'm like, y'all have no idea how the salary cap works. They can't make they can't blow this thing up if they wanted to right now. But, you know, trading Myles Garrett, they can't do it. They shouldn't do it. But they can't do it anyway. And again, they can't do that with guys that have significant money and cap commitments on their contracts right now because they don't have the room, and they've got to find a way to weasel out of the Deshaun Watson situation to begin with. So,
you're saying that's something they're actively trying to do?
No, I'm just trying to explain to these people that are posting out of thin air, I was going to say something else.
Uh-oh.
That, you know, this is what the Browns should do. No, it's not what they should do, number one. Number two, they can't do it. But I don't feel like this needs to be a complete roster detonation, but there are changes that need to be made. They ran it back this year. It's been a disaster. You know, they needed more than just Jerry Jeudy added to this team. And also too, understand this isn't Major League Baseball. This isn't the NBA where you're going to make six, seven trades before a trade deadline and have a fire sale. Could they trade Za'Darius Smith to Lions? Sure, that's out there, right? That's definitely a possibility. But this notion that they're just going to start selling all these guys off for first and second round draft picks is ludicrous. It's not going to happen.
Dale Ryder with us right now talking Cleveland Browns. Jameis Winston, is that conversation over for him potentially being a starting quarterback for the Browns next year?
Yeah, I don't know that it's over, but I think that what yesterday validated was that this is what happens with this offense when you don't have competent quarterback play. He was not good yesterday. His numbers were good against the Ravens, but let's be honest, he probably should have thrown 2 to 4 interceptions in that game too. The Browns were the lucky beneficiaries of Baltimore's inability to catch footballs. So I don't know that, anything definitive can be said at this point other than this is just a terrible football team. And they're going nowhere. The season's been over for weeks, like I said it was. And, yesterday just validated it once again that, no matter who the quarterback is, doesn't matter who's calling the plays, this offense is terrible. It's unwatchable. It's 1999 expansion Browns terrible. And they all ought to be pretty embarrassed about that because they don't have expansion team talent on this team. And yet that's how they play.
Daryl, does Stefanski make it through the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't think firing Kevin Stefanski in the middle of the season solves any problems. Firing Ken Dorsey might solve a problem. The Raiders fired
Whoa!
Some guys last night.
Are you advocating, Daryl?
See ya.
Hell yeah,
back
I am.
Back-to-back
years. He should have been fired weeks ago. You guys actually thought turning the plays over to him was actually going to make a difference?
No. But
this is his offense.
No, but I didn't think firing him was the prudent thing to do right off the rip.
Oh, I would have canned him weeks ago and gone back to last year's offense in a heartbeat.
Holy cat food. This is something else, Daryl.
What? Why not? I mean,
Wait a minute. Is firing Ken Dorsey really going to help something, or are you just mad and want some blood?
Well, you guys want to fire Kevin Stefanski. I don't think that solves the problem.
No. Ain't no one firing Kevin Stefanski on this show. I can't speak for the callers, but I know.
I don't know. It
Kevin
sure
Stefanski.
Sounded like Anthony Lamb was trying to lead the witness there,
He
Ken.
Asked you a question. He asked you a question.
He tried to lead the witness.
He didn't try to lead you to nothing. You led yourself. You walked yourself right to that guillotine, friend. That's what you've done. Daryl Ryder brought to you
I'm
by...
I'm not a Ken Dorsey fan. I respect
couldn't
him
tell.
Personally, but I'm not a fan. It's no secret that once they got him out of Buffalo, things magically fell into place for the Bills.
So you think he's created this problem, that Ken Dorsey is to blame for this problem with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, Ken, they broke an offense that didn't need fixed. That's what they did this offseason.
Why did they do it? Who ordered the code red then?
I don't know who ordered the code red, but maybe that person should be shown the door too.
Do they live in San Diego?
There was nothing wrong with the offense that Alex Van Pelt and Kevin Stefanski was running.
Well.
None whatsoever. It scored points.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Picked up yards. Wasn't it the bottom of just about every meaningful ranking like this nonsense is?
Mm.
The common denominator here is the new guy, right? I just think that they fixed a problem that didn't need to be fixed this offseason, all under the guise of making the $230 million man better. And, well, I don't know. If the guy can't play, I don't know how much better you can make him.
Daryl, yesterday, Nick Chubb, 15 carries, 39 yards.
Yeah.
That's 2.6 average. On the season, his average in the three games is 2.7. We know his career average is well over five.
Right.
What have you seen from Nick Chubb so far in his
return? Well, I mean, it's exactly what I expected. He had a couple of bursts yesterday. He had a couple of bursts against the Ravens the week before. I think that's what it's going to be with him. I came into this with very realistic expectations for what he was going to be able to do physically, and then also combine it with, you know, the supporting cast around him and how they have been performing. So I'm not disappointed. I'm not surprised. It's about what I expected to see. The burst here and there from Nick, but, you know, tough sledding at other times.
Do you believe that Bubba Ventrone should be catching some hell from fans?
Yeah, his special teams are pretty terrible too.
Okay.
Too many breakdowns. You can't give up a big punt return there that sets up one touchdown and then have another field goal block that sets up another touchdown. Your return game is nothing, and it has been since Josh Cribbs was here years ago. The Browns have not been able to return kickoffs or punts with any type of explosiveness. I'm really disappointed because I felt that this new kickoff play and the rules surrounding it were going to provide that opportunity, but there's just nothing dynamic about the Browns' return game at all.
So do you believe that Andrew Berry will be on the hot seat at the end of this season?
I think there's a chance. He bought a lot of the groceries here, and, you know, they're not performing. He gave up a second-round pick for Elijah Moore. That's not looking all that great.
Because, like, people were upset with DeJuan Jones a little bit yesterday because he needed help in chipping Bosa, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is his second game. He did not play a lot of left tackle before.
Right.
Second game, and he's playing through an injury. I understand that, and he got his shoulder banged up again. Go ahead, Daryl. You're going to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? This is a perfect example of belief what they do, not what they say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They got him back on the field at left tackle as quickly as possible, right?
Yeah.
So that tells you what you need to know, right? You see what I'm getting at there, Ken?
Were you mentioning Jed Wills here over here, or what did we say?
Yeah, I didn't want to say his name.
No, but go ahead and say it. I mean, wait a minute. They wanted to put Jed Wills over there at left tackle because
they wanted to get DeJuan back on the field as quickly as possible.
Because I mean, this is where the ship has sailed on Jed Wills. I mean, if you want to try him over right tackle at some point this year, because Jack Conklin's doing his very best, but you hold your breath on every snap.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's doing the best he can. I think he's done a fine job. It's fine enough job as he could. I know that there was one sack that was given up yesterday. It was pretty ugly there on the second quarter. But I think overall, you know, I ask you the question when it comes to Andrew Berry. All right, does DeJuan Jones, if he can play left tackle, does that make up for the miss at number 10 overall? Because you get a fourth-round left tackle that makes up for a number 10 overall guy at left tackle that can't play the position at a high level.
Well, it's not so much the draft picks for me, Ken, because the bulk of Andrew Berry's draft picks are from the third through seventh rounds. Okay. And let's be honest about third through seventh round picks. Those you're catching lightning in a bottle there. He doesn't have a lot of first and second round picks to be evaluated on, right? And the reason why, because he made the Deshaun Watson trade. That's a big strike against him. The Deshaun Watson trade has been a complete disaster. The contract's a disaster.
Yeah.
The Elijah Moore trade, okay, second-round pick given up for him, that has not worked very well. The Jerry Jeudy trade doesn't seem to be working very well. You know, so he's made some moves here that have not gotten this team over the top. These were moves that were supposed to take this roster over the top. Then you have some other guy, you know, like Martin Emerson last year, really great player. This year, you know, he's not. DeJuan Jones last year, really great player. This year, he's not. But now DeJuan is a little better than he was in the first 5 weeks. So I think the jury's out on this season with DeJuan right now. But, like, you know, he's the one that was supposed to get this thing to the finish line, and he's not done it. And this season has been, like I said, it's been a complete disaster. It's a train wreck. It's a failure.
Will they?
And he's the one that bought the groceries.
Will they go back to DTR at some point?
I have to imagine that they're going to take a look at him, right? Because to your question earlier about Jameis, I mean, same thing. What they have to find now is they have to figure out who's the next bridge to the next quarterback failure that they're going to bring in here.
Well, geez, Daryl, we can't just call them failures already.
Well, that's what it's been for 25 years.
Okay,
shall I go through the list of 39 names?
You don't need to go through the list of 39 names well, there, but at some point you got to hit on one.
Well, you're so nasty, so bitter.
I didn't put you through that. My God.
At some point, you'd think just by osmosis alone they'd find one of these guys that can play. They can't. I mean, you got a little bit out of Baker. That was great, but it wasn't good enough for him. And now here we are back on the carousel again. And do I trust this front office to do it? Nope. I don't trust this front office to find the next quarterback. Heck no.
So then they should be moved on from.
I certainly don't trust Paul DePodesta to be involved in the next quarterback. Because you can have all the data you want.
Mm.
Here's the one thing you can't quantify with data.
Mm.
It's the human element. That's where teams go wrong. The information is great. My criticism isn't about the information, the application of the information.
Yeah.
It's what you can't quantify is the human element.
Yeah.
And that is an area where the Browns, time and time again, have fallen short in their evaluations.
Daryl, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Fire them all, Ken.
Ooh, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll talk to Daryl coming up later on this week on Friday, and they'll be after the trade deadline, which it is tomorrow, 4 p.m. Very busy day in America with the trade deadline and everything else going on tomorrow.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.